A story from our tradition. A vision, really, from our tradition. This is from the revelation that came to John, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a wedding partner adorned for the wedding. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and the Holy One will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. It's a touching part of the vision to read today, given the news from Buffalo. It would be nice to have the home of God among mortals such that crying and mourning were no more. So sweet here, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And so we might ask in such a moment when things are tough, how do we know it's going to turn out? How do we stay the course and keep hope? When you are young and wondering how to find your place and deal with the big world, how do you keep confidence and seek direction? When you are old and life is short, where do you look for meaning and possibility? These are questions of faith. Now this year, and I'll tell you, I've checked the math a couple times, I will turn 59. Might sound young to some, old to others. But it sure makes me reflect on more than half a century of living. Highs and lows, mistakes and learning, growth and gratitude. Yet in all my years, I've never seen a couple of years like our last two. What about you? We've had a new worldwide pandemic. The old pandemic of racism was unveiled anew to many. The increasing effects of climate change seen in hurricanes and wildfires. Armed white vigilantes in the streets and the Capitol, even in a grocery store. But if you think the last couple of years have been tough to view, you should try the revelation that came to John. It cannot compete. It is beyond what we've seen the last couple years. This thing that we call the revelation from this anonymous author we named John has, to name a few things, beasts, a sea monster, plagues, horses of multiple colors, the archangel Michael fighting a red dragon, a giant pit, a pregnant woman, and a day of God's wrath. It's dramatic and full. Likely in a trance or a non-ordinary state of consciousness, John saw and recorded this vision. It is not for the faint of heart, nor is it for simple literal interpretation. Lord knows there's a lot of lousy interpretation out there that claims the revelation of John as its verification. You know, that end of the world stuff with dates and events and all. Mostly it's pretty poor Bible analysis and bad theology. The revelation is best approached with humility and a good understanding of Hebrew symbols and Hebrew prophecy, and seen this way, seen this way, Revelation can become for us perhaps what it was for the people of John's time and for many Christians over the centuries, an inspiring, encouraging vision that helped them in bad times to keep going, to faithfully resist empire and the false gods of society. Indeed, the revelation received by John was an underdog story that served them as they faced tough challenges and big questions of history and of their lives. Now, as the last book of the Bible as we have it arranged, it is a kind of symbolic end, and not necessarily in the sense of time ending, whatever that might mean, but in the sense of purpose, of telos, the end toward which we travel, the meaning of history and life. Now, of that which is symbolic of that time, we know that John was referring often in his revelation to the Roman Empire as the beast and Antichrist presence. The Pax Romana, the dominating peace of Rome, the way of empire, that way of empire was not the peace of Christ. John knew that. The early Christians knew that. So those early followers and communities of Christ were called to live differently, to resist the way of Caesar and choose the way of Jesus. But when Rome is so big, when the system seems so pervasive, or even when life takes an unexpected and unwelcome turn, how do you deal with that? Well, many of the faithful looked to the revelation of John as an alternative vision of what ultimate power was at play, and trusted in that divine power. And through this story, they rejected the conventional menu of what was inevitable and cultivated an alternative consciousness of what was possible. And in this, they did find hope. Hebrew scholars like Walter Brueggemann and theologians like the late, great James Cone will tell you that Pharaoh and Caesar's greatest power is the belief in their ultimate power and the limitation of possibility to change the status quo. There's nothing new in the empire. There is no different future, only anxiety about a different future. And so maybe that is the genius of the medieval Dominican mystic Meister Eckhart when he wrote, "God is the newest thing there is, the youngest thing there is. God is the beginning, and if we are united to God, we become new again." Does that sound strange? God is the newest thing? Or maybe it's being part of a historic Protestant denomination and a congregation with an institutional history who even has a solid brick building that makes it harder for us to know the God who is always new. Maybe we relate more to God as a fixed external absolute, as the Ancient of Days or the Rock of Ages. Or maybe we can attribute it to the repeated habits of heritage. But like the new births that do come to our congregation, that come to communities, that come to families, God comes too. Not just as the birther, as the mother, indeed God does that, but also as the new birth itself, the new thing itself. And new in Revelation means different. Did you hear that in the scripture passage we read from the Revelation? "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth," John said. Now let's be clear, both for those of the first centuries of the ancient Near East and for us, the new heaven and the new earth have not come. Not fully. This morning's news from Buffalo and many mornings' news tell us that. Pharaoh, Caesar, or whatever demonic, conscious, and unconscious systems of domination still have power. And they take root in human souls such that violence against another person or group or even country becomes a siren song, if you will, a tragic temptation, an illusion of solution. If only we or I could just get rid of or control this other. Projecting inner tensions and fears and insecurities onto the other and making them an enemy, a dehumanized object, that's as old as Cain and Abel. And at the core of what keeps humanity alienated, in conflict, and out of step with divine love. It's a real short road to sin, if you like. The revelation of John is certainly not without its own troubling aspects, yet ultimately tells a new alternative story where empire is not the last word nor the only possibility. Connecting with that divine alternative vision is the beginning of liberation for us all. Through song, ritual, prayers, or art of this liberating story of reversal, where empire is not ultimate or final, we can connect to the power of the story of a new heaven and a new earth. We can anticipate its full coming by tasting and expressing it and living it now. We can participate in its emergence now. We can live the new now, and in so doing, allow its call to stay rooted in us and sustain us in the long arc of history. Now, for those being crushed and exploited by the empire, whether the oppressive empires of history or the inner oppressions of the wounded soul, good news comes when a new vision of possibility is made visible and like communion taken in, even if only in part. When this taste of inner liberation comes, hope comes, affirmation comes, and fortifies the spirit for endurance and for liberating action. As Choctaw Nation music artist Red Eagle raps in his song, Still Here, Wounded Knee, and we still here. Sand Creek, we still here. Cortez, and we still here. Slavery, and we still here. Smallpox, and we still here. Border schools, and we still here. Damn, it feels good to be a native. Damn, it feels good to be a native. This is the good news that you hear of an alternative possibility, an alternative story that Red Eagle shares with the people who need to hear it. It's hope. It's empowerment to say it's not yet come, but we're still here now. And we can feel it coming. Good news comes to those who hear and trust the God who says, "See, I am making all things new, even in the midst of empire, injustice, and violence." It comes when we truly hear Jesus say, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." It comes when you know that even if in the short term of history, it looks like the forces of death and oppression are winning, you know the story. It comes when you know the story of the resurrected one who came in a lowly stable, lived with, taught, and healed the lowly ones, and who, dying with the lowly ones, conquered even the power of death. It comes. And as we continue in the resonance of Easter, our sacred image from John's revelation reminds us that we arrive together in the end in a new heaven and a new earth, This is an Easter vision for all people and for all creation. In the words of Lila June, a Navajo Nation artist, in her song, All Nations Rise, this time it isn't Indians versus cowboys, no. This time it is all the beautiful races of humanity together on the same side, and we are fighting to replace our fear with love. This time bullets, arrows, and cannonballs won't save us. The only weapons that are useful in this battle are the weapons of truth, faith, and compassion. If you don't want to read the whole Bible, although I know all of you do, that's a pretty good summary. Truth, faith, and compassion. The alternative way of Jesus. Cultivating and living in these ways are how we participate in the coming of this Easter vision for all. God's beloved community, a new heaven and a new earth. Truth, faith, and compassion. This is what we do to be an Easter people amidst times such as these. This is what we do to allow God to dwell with mortals. Emmanuel. Finally, a brief word which I shared with our graduates who were both here this morning at our 9 a.m. service. A word for us from Sister Elia Delio, a sister of St. Francis and a professor at Georgetown University, who says, God is always new. Life is always new. Every end is a new beginning and every arrival a new departure. There are no dead ends in life unless we ourselves die in despair. The revelation received by John was a story meant to help people who might despair. It gave them another story of hope. And so I say to us this morning, do not despair, but have faith in the God who says, see, I am making all things new. Amen.